It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Indeed, it is hump day. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Great show planned for you again today. We're going to go through some headlines in the first and second segment. And then in the third and fourth segment, we will be talking with Frank Gaffney. He is an expert on the Middle East. He's an expert on things that are happening in the world. And we'll be talking with him. He's the executive chairman for the Center for Security Policy. So we'll talk about Iran. We'll talk about China. And then if we have time, I'd like to ask him about this peace plan that was just unveiled yesterday by President Trump between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Pretty amazing stuff. So again, welcome to the show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com. Be sure and sign up for our newsletter, and we'll keep you apprised of what's coming up. And welcome. It's really great to have you here. As we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. It is never compassionate to take other people's stuff, to take their rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. Steve, first of all, thank you to you and the team, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie. And we just had a little experience of unpredictable and excessive taxation right here in our home. We both live in Douglas County. You got your property tax bill, didn't you?
You saw me laughing when you went through that normal thing about force and, you know, unpredictable taxation. I just about fell out of my chair, and then I passed the news to you and said, hey, check your property tax bill, and do you notice anything unique?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's about, what, 27%?
Yeah, I think it's 25 to 30. It probably depends on people's homes. But primarily what that was from is because the assessed valuation had increased. And so, you know, a 25-30% bump in your taxes, that's pretty unpredictable, and it seems pretty excessive from one year to another. So I wonder what the Douglas County Commissioners are going to do about that, because that's a significant amount of revenue increase.
Well, they're licking their chops on one side, and it just grates me. We're going to do this just because we can. And that rubs me the wrong way.
Well, we'll stay tuned. We'll see if maybe they'll adjust the mill levy or something to bring that back into par with what it is. But and the assessed valuation was primarily, there was also a mill levy override for the schools, but that was somewhat kind of negligible compared to the increase in the assessed valuation. And, you know, you've made your plans, Steve. You know, you take a look at that. People have made their plans, you know, for their budgets, for their lives. And, you know, many people are on fixed incomes. And then all of a sudden you get a property tax increase like that. And it is a big surprise.
I'd love to know what Douglas County listeners might be. You know, we're all waking up to this or going to our mailboxes and having this coronary in the street when we get these documents in the mail. But case in point, I'm at the point in life where our mortgage is paid off. The house is free and clear. But yet we had these hits coming at us. It's like you can't plan for anything.
Okay, you know, and so how about all of you out there in Douglas County or any of the counties out there? Your property tax bills are coming. Why don't you email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and let me know just what the increase is in your property taxes over the last 3 years. I'd be very interested to hear that. And again, somewhat unpredictable. It kind of caught you by surprise, Steve.
It did. And the other thing I'm smiling about is, like, I don't know, you must have a connection with the president's office to a degree. You got Frank Gaffney on today, the day after Trump appears with Netanyahu, and to talk about a proposed peace plan. How do you do that?
You know what? I actually think the good Lord has his hand on us. It just kind of happens. We go out and we ask people, and it just seems to happen. Because we've been trying to get him on for a couple of weeks, and it finally came to this day. So, hey, there we go. Thank you to the good Lord on that one. So, And to you listeners out there, thank you. Each of you are treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Go out there and strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You're each unique. You're an individual, and each one of you are treasured and valued. And again, be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com. Okay, our inspiration wisdom for today is from Joseph's story. And a little history test. Do you know who Joseph Story is, Steve?
I do not, but I had a laugh because just now, as you started to say his name, I thought you were going to say Joseph Stalin.
No, Joseph Story. He lived from 1779 to 1845. He and this is from 13.org where I got the information. Joseph Story graduated from Harvard College in 1798, and he actually founded the Harvard Law School. He practiced law in Salem, Massachusetts from 1801 to 1811. He was a member of Thomas Jefferson's Republican Party, and he served in the State House of Representatives from 1805 to 1811 and in the U.S. Congress from 1808 to 1809. In November of 1811, President James Madison appointed the 32-year-old Story to the Supreme Court. Though he had no judicial experience, Story was respected for his legal scholarship, and Madison hoped he would contest the positions of Chief Justice John Marshall in expanding federal government powers. The youngest person ever to join the court, Story soon disappointed his political sponsors and aligned himself with Marshall. Where Marshall was a middling legal scholar at best, Story was erudite and erudite? I think that's how you say that. And he contributed significantly to decisions that laid the legal foundations of federal power. So that's your history lesson for today, and this is what he had to say. He said, hold on, got to get back to my page here. He said, it is important also to consider that the surest means of avoiding war is to be prepared for it in peace. Again, it is important also to consider that the surest means of avoiding war is to be prepared for it in peace. And that's Joseph's story.
Thus, the phrase peace through strength.
You got it. Okay. First thing, speaking of that, got to get over here to this headline. And that is, yesterday, while all this craziness is going on with the impeachment proceedings, and Steve, when we were talking on my way in, you said, look at all the time, look at all the money that has been spent on trying to get rid of President Trump. Instead of a Congress doing the things that they need to be doing, they've been messing around with this. And now, of course, there's this supposed bombshell that John Bolton has a book coming out and that it's going to paint Trump in a bad light. I'm really disappointed in John Bolton. I actually have interviewed him before, but he's really more of a hawk. And from what I can tell, he really wanted to take a much harder stance with North Korea. Really, I think almost maybe pushing Kim Jong-un's buttons. And instead, Trump, pulled back on that. He said, let's see if we can sit down and talk. I really appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. And so I'm starting to see these egos, people that I used to support that I thought that they had the best interests of everyday hardworking Americans in mind. And the two that are rising to the top right now are Mitt Romney and John Bolton. I'm very disappointed in both of them on that, Steve.
As I alluded to yesterday, and I hate to drive you off course here, but I'm watching the Ken Burns series on Vietnam, and it is plain to see when you watch it, egos of individuals in Washington and also South Vietnam. They fed it. They kept it going, and it was nothing but egos.
Well, we're all human, and we have to keep our egos in check.
Oh, my.
But while all this is going on now, John Bolton, I think he's probably loving all of the limelight. Now the mainstream media loves him. They used to hate him, but now they love him because they love anybody that can try to take down Donald Trump. But while this is happening, Steve, this is absolutely amazing. President Trump and Israeli Minister Benjamin Netanyahu revealed a long-awaited Middle East peace plan meant to bring an end to the decades-long conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. The plan, which has been opposed by the Palestinians, right? Opposing a peace plan?
No.
Okay. Was touted by Trump as the most detailed proposal ever put forward toward a lasting peace in the region. He says, complex problems require nuanced remedies. My vision presents a win-win opportunity for both sides. And here's a look at some of the key features. First of all, it's a two-state solution. Long build is the only way for the Palestinians and Israelis to actually come to terms. Trump's plan calls for a two-state solution with the creation of a future state of Palestine. Number two, there's land swaps. There will also be a number of land swaps, including one south of the Gaza Strip to give the Palestinians more territory and one near the Egyptian border that will remain Israeli territory and will be subject to Israeli security control. Israel will maintain sovereignty of the Jordan Valley east of the West Bank. And then security, there's a major part of the plan focuses on cutting down terror attacks on Israeli settlements and Israeli reprisals on the Palestinians by calling for a demilitarized Palestinian state. The settlements, the plan calls for Israel to halt construction of any new settlements in contested areas for 4 years, during which time details of a comprehensive agreement would be negotiated. The deal would also require the Palestinians to accept conditions that they have been previously unwilling to consider. Jerusalem. Continuing the Trump administration stance, the plan recognizes Israeli sovereignty over the city of Jerusalem, although it does set up a Palestinian capital in East Jerusalem. And then lastly, while Washington's relations with the Palestinians have been frosty under Trump, the new plan calls for greater working relations between the two should the Palestinians meet the proposal's criteria. So while we have the radical activist Dems right now that are trying to take down this president, he is out there trying to work for peace in one of the hottest spots in the world. It is absolutely astounding to me. He gets up every day. If you look at the list of accomplishments, you can see that is why they want to take him down.
Once again, and you want something like this to be so successful after standing by and watching the horror that it's been over the last, since what, the 73?
Well, it's really since 1948.
48, can we keep the egos in check and make progress?
You know, to one other point, George Washington, founder, of our country, basically the first president, and we'll be celebrating his birthday here in February, he is a man who could have had a tremendous ego. And he was the general of the Continental Army. And when Ben Martin was on, we were talking about this, we'd be going through all of these great speeches. But he actually stepped back from being the general for the Continental Army because he was humble. He could have certainly become king here because, he was so well-liked. He was so successful. And so we can take a lesson from him on ego. And, a real leader is one that is humble and is willing to step back. And we have egos all over the place, all over, up and down with bureaucrats, politicians, interested parties. And we need to recognize that and make sure that we adhere to this vision of the Constitution, which was put in place really in some ways to keep human ego in check. Steve, your comment.
Well, to all the people who were assembled in the colonies at that time, they wouldn't have been there if they thought the monarchy was the way to go. They'd still be over, 3,000 miles east. but they were here because of that. Yeah, a monarchy was not a good thing, and a republic that was coming that would eventually be formed. So, my hat's off to Washington. Yes, he could have maybe wrote it out and made it a monarchy, but he knew.
Well, and we need to be teaching our kids these lessons, and that is not being taught in our schools now either. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, did you realize, the Super Bowl is this Sunday, and it's been 49 years since the Chiefs have been in the Super Bowl. The last time they were in the Super Bowl, their pictures were in black and white. It's been that long. So go Chiefs. But the place to watch all these games is Hooters Restaurants. They have plenty of big TVs, so you won't miss any of the action. And if you join them for the big game this weekend, you'll be entered for a chance to win a 55-inch HD TV. They have these great new roasted wings. The smoked wings are great. Those are lower in calories. And, of course, they've got their regular wings as well. Wednesday, today, if you dine in all day. It's all the wings you can eat for $15.99. And if you don't want to cook, like when I'm having people over, normally I just have Hooters wings delivered right to the front door. For more information, check out my website. It's kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, the next thing we will talk about is House Bill 20, 1149. This is right down here at the State House. It's a bill for an act concerning participation in school district elections by individuals at least 16 years of age. Now, that means that kids can vote on all kinds of things regarding school districts, and a lot of them even they've not had a job yet. And, of course, with the forced minimum wage, or as Rosemary, one of our listeners, says, is the Mandated Unemployment Act for kids. With that happening, they may not have a job. So we're going to go to break, where we'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and one of the things we want to talk about, Patty's going to be pulling one bill a day so that you know what's going on. It's not going to cover all of them, but this way you kind of know what's going on down at the State House. This is House Bill 20, or HB 20. So when you see HB, that's House Bill, or if you see SB, that's Senate Bill. So House Bill 20, that's the year, and then it'll have the number. This is 1149. And per the summary of the bill, it will allow a person who is pre-registered to vote in school district elections beginning at 16 years of age. A school district election is defined as an election to recall a school district officer or an election called under Title 22 revised statutes, including elections for the State Board of Education, school district officers. Steve, get this. Referred measures to impose or increase mill levies or to raise and expend property taxes.
Woo-hoo.
So you see right there your unpredictable excessive taxation, because now you can have 16-year-olds vote for you to pay that.
Yeah.
Okay. Referred measures relating to the organization of or plan of representation for school districts, and referred measures related to the financial obligations and indebtedness of school districts. When a person pre-registers, they must receive information concerning their eligibility to vote in a school district elections and how to update their pre-registration information and obtain and cast a ballot. The bill repeals the requirement that the voter information of pre-registrants be kept confidential. That's a little nerve-wracking as well. A pre-registrant can circulate and sign petitions to nominate or recall a school district officer or to initiate an election under Title 22 Colorado Revised Statutes. A pre-registrant cannot run for office or be appointed to fill a vacancy. If a juvenile is charged with an election offense and no other crime is charged, the juvenile court is prohibited from transferring the charge to a district court. Now, just a question, isn't the federal law that you have to be at least 18 to vote? Is that I'm thinking that's in the an amendment, but maybe not. I should be looking that up. All of a sudden, I'm thinking about that. But so, if federal law is that you have to be 18 years old to vote, this is seems to me that this is circumventing federal law once again. You're seeing different states circumvent federal law. What's your thoughts on that, Steve?
Where there's smoke, there's fire. There's an agenda here. And
oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, I've got a big bar in my hand and I'm going to leverage something. Something here that I can gain by having 16-year-olds voting on things that they probably have very little understanding of, or as you suggested earlier, maybe things that they have been brainwashed.
Well, that
which is not tough to do.
Yeah, when we were talking about that, just think about it. Teachers and great teachers, I so appreciate great teachers. But I have also been in schoolrooms where I've seen where they've actually had pictures of Che Guevara, who was, you know, who was a communist who killed a bunch of people. That is up on the wall in I can't remember which schoolhouse I was in, but one of them. And I'm thinking, okay, so kids are with teachers, what, 8 hours a day? And so teachers have a big influence on kids. And we have seen that some teachers use that opportunity to actually push kids to a specific political ideology. And so now, you know, what they're going to do is use that then to get these kids registered to vote who are probably pretty active. There's a lot of kids that at the age of 16, they're just trying to figure out how to get to school and get their homework done. And so this is really, you know, what this does is a couple of things. It is an assault on hardworking people that are out there, you know, paying taxes, doing things to take care of their families. Kids are not even at that point yet. They haven't paid any taxes. They haven't figured out, you know, how to pay rent, pay a mortgage. And yet this legislature is putting forward a bill to give kids the right to vote and to encumber people to have to pay additional taxes for public schools. What's your thought?
I'm trying to think what makes brainwashing successful. One of the things is an individual, their ability to reason and make a decision is in my mind, you know, word pictures is like a scale. Their scale is not fully developed. They have not enough life experiences to judge and to make decisions on. So it's so easy to pull off the brainwashing and disguise it. We you know, we certainly don't want to be accused of brainwashing these students. Well, of course you don't, but there's some reason that
I've seen it. I have seen it, Steve.
There's some reason that this is being pushed through.
Yes, I have seen this. So, okay, we're getting a little bit jammed up on time, but I saw this headline. Patty put this on here. This was from the Daily Caller. You know, so you have all these altruistic people saying, oh, my gosh, there's family units coming to the border. We cannot separate them. You know, and again, they've gone after President Trump on all this. And, Steve, I could not believe this. It says the chief of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, was giving an example of how far migrants will go to deceive U.S. authorities, said one migrant woman was caught spitting into the mouth of a baby that was not related to her. Matthew Albans, the acting director of ICE, held a press conference last Thursday, to highlight several issues the agency is currently tackling, such as the lack of cooperation by sanctuary jurisdictions. Let me just get right to that. That is, let's see here. This is from Judicial Watch. In the latest example of sanctuary madness, a U.S. city is awarding an illegal immigrant with a cash settlement, get that, because police detained him for federal authorities after being arrested for driving under the influence. Okay, and that is that was out in California. No surprise. So you've got, you know, police will not, in sanctuary cities such as Denver, will not actually cooperate with ICE. But then we're seeing this down here at the border. And you're telling me that this is a woman who cares about this baby, and she spits into the mouth of the baby so that they can have the same DNA and get across the border. What are they going to do with that baby when they cross the border? You know, I mean, I don't even want to think about it. But this is not somebody that cares about children. And this is ruthless. And this is, you know, when people talk about, you know, oh, all these family units down at the border, I think that there's a bunch of nefarious stuff going on, Steve.
You brought this to my attention earlier this morning, and I've been sitting here trying to visualize that. And where does this come from? Where do these concepts and ideas come from in terms of trickery, you know, to misrepresentation, you name it? And I made the mistake of commenting. Sooner or later, I'm going to learn not to do this, but made a comment on Facebook regarding the ICE situation in Denver and said, meanwhile, law-abiding citizens in Denver just wait to be, abused or attacked by these same thugs that we're dealing with.
Okay. And one other thing before we get to Jason McBride, and this is from Reuters. It says the U.S. Supreme Court just recently gave the go-ahead on Monday for one of President Donald Trump's hardline immigration policies. Interesting they say hardline. Allowing his administration to implement a rule that will deny legal permanent residency to certain immigrants deemed likely to require government assistance in the future. So let me just put that in layman terms. Is basically, if you are coming to America, you need to be able to take care of yourself instead of coming in for public assistance. And it seems like it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that you know we shouldn't have people coming in that are now going to live off of everyday hardworking Americans. And on that note, Jason McBride, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. You know, I was thinking on the stuff to let 16-year-olds vote. Two things. One, if they're old enough or wise enough to be able to vote, well, they don't need to be in school anymore.
Oh, that is a great nugget of wisdom there. So, Jason, hey, you guys are hosting some workshops on taxes, though. You know, taxes, as you say, you know, we want to pay every dime that we're legally supposed to, but not a dime more. And so you guys are working on these workshops, and taxes are a topic that most people like to avoid.
Well, that's true, Kim. I think we like to avoid paying taxes for sure, but for retirees, there's actually some really good news, so it's a topic that can be somewhat enjoyable, if that's ever possible, when you're discussing taxes. Now, Kim, in reality, not in dreams, but in actual reality, if someone plans to have about the same amount of after-tax income and retirement as they do now, in other words, the same amount of money coming into their pocket to spend, it's nearly impossible for them not to pay less in taxes. And we've seen some clients' tax bills go down, Kim, by as much as 75%. Now, I'm talking the same income in their pocket as they have now, but way less taxes being paid to get that same income.
That is astonishing. How can that happen?
Well, there's several factors at play. First one's kind of obvious. You don't have to pay your FICA and Medicare taxes on most sources of retirement income. So you're going to pick up about 7.65% in cash flow there. Then, even if you do have a lot of money coming in, Kim, at least 15% of your Social Security is tax-free, and for most people, it's a lot less than that.
Well, I know just enough about taxes to be dangerous. I thought just about everyone had 85% of their Social Security taxed.
Well, Kim, you're definitely still dangerous in other ways, so don't feel bad. But you're right about that. Some people certainly do have 85% of it taxed, but you can be north of almost $12,000 a month in cash flow before you get to maximum taxation of your Social Security if you have things structured the right way.
Well, now that is fascinating, but is there any way to lower the taxes on your Social Security?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Surprisingly, you can often delay your Social Security benefit past your normal filing age. And you know what happens, Kim? You end up getting a larger benefit, and you end up having less in taxable Social Security. Isn't that neat? More money, less tax. How do you do that? I'll tell you, the math, it's too wonky to get into here on the air, but we're going to cover that, plus a lot more at the workshop.
Well, it sounds like this workshop is really worthwhile and probably very unique. Most of the time, classes on taxes are always about the bad news, but you and your colleagues over at Presidential Wealth Management want to show folks how to make lemonade out of lemons. So how can people sign up?
All right, Kim. First, importantly, the dates are Thursday, February 6th, and Saturday, February 8th. We have three locations: Parker, Arvada, and Windsor. That means you could choose any of the three locations on either of the dates. So 2 times 3, that's 6 different workshops on the subject that the listeners can choose from. So you could save your seat a few different ways. One, Kim, you can go to your site, kimmonson.com. Two, they could go to airpresidential.com. Or last, you could just do it the old school way and give us a call at 303-694-1600. Kim, I promise these workshops are interesting You're going to learn something useful there. There's no high pressure or anything like that. You're not going to get locked in and be told to buy books and tapes on your way out.
Okay. Okay, so again, three ways. You can go to my website, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can go to airpresidential.com. That's A-I-R, presidential.com. Or give Natalie a call after 7:30 this morning at the presidential switchboard. That's 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And just let them know that you heard about it as Jason and I were talking about it on the show. Jason, thank you so much. You have a great day. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Frank Gaffney about Iran, China, and probably the Middle East peace agreement between Palestine, or well, between the Palestinians and the Israelis. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and in just a moment we'll be talking with Frank Gaffney regarding what's going on with Iran, with China. Frank Gaffney is the executive chairman of the Center for Security Policy, and he's an expert on all of these kind of geopolitical things that are going on out there. Before we get to Frank, there was one other headline that I wanted to mention. I saw this come across the wire yesterday from the Wall Street Journal. And it says the chairman of Harvard University's chemistry department was arrested on charges of lying about receiving millions of dollars in Chinese funding in an escalation of U.S. efforts to counter what officials said is a plot by Beijing to mine U.S. universities to catapult China to the forefront of scientific development. A federal criminal complaint alleges that Charles Lieber, a pioneer in nanotechnology, misled the Defense Department and the National Institutes of Health about his participation in China's Thousand Talents Plan while the U.S. agencies were spending more than $15 million to fund his research group in the U.S. Though its government-backed Thousand Talents Plan and hundreds of through its government-backed Thousand Talents Plan and hundreds of similar programs, China pays scientists around the world to moonlight at Chinese institutions, often without disclosing the work to their primary employers. So again, the chairman of Harvard University's chemistry department was arrested on charges of lying about receiving millions of dollars in Chinese funding. We have Frank Gaffney on the line. And Frank, before we really get into everything we're talking about, do you have any comments about what just happened regarding this Harvard professor?
Well, Kim, I only heard part of what you were saying about it, unfortunately, but I'm familiar with the story. And I think what it is instructive about, in addition, of course, to the particulars of this case and the damage that we can anticipate, a guy who was working for both the U.S. government on sensitive government contracts and working for the Chinese could possibly have done. But it's indicative of a broader problem. And that is that an awful lot of people, particularly in the hard sciences in our country, consider the world to be just one big marketplace of ideas. And the free flow of information and exchange of research and even intellectual property can be considered to be, you know, for the public good. Even when there are real reasons to believe that some of those ideas or research data or technology developments could have national security implications. That is to say, be mortal threats, perhaps, in some instances, to American servicemen and women or others of us, for that matter, or for our country. This idea you know, that science uber alles, if you will, shouldn't be restricted in any way or shouldn't be even guided by basic common sense about enabling adversaries. And the Chinese are, let's be clear, adversaries of our country, increasingly, if not out-and-out enemies. That has to be a factor now, I think, going forward, especially as we're learning more about things like biological weapons programs that the Chinese have a treaty obligation not to have. And yet, evidently, they do, and it's ongoing, and heavens only knows what kind of peril it might pose to this country.
Okay, Frank. Well, Frank Gaffney, you are the executive chairman of the Center for Security Policy. And so you really are watching all of these things going on throughout the world. And we want to talk about Iran. But before we do that, I had seen that you had had a couple of different comments on your website about China. Since we're talking about China, let's address those first. And that is the threat of this coronavirus. What is your thoughts on that?
Let me hasten to say, I am not a scientist. I am not an immunologist, virologist, whatever you want to call those specialties. I'm like everybody else, reading the open source literature about this. It seems to me, based on what we have learned so far and what the Chinese are doing belatedly and with a somewhat erratic approach to contain this virus, that it is dangerous, and it is likely to become more so as it does inevitably proliferate. Now, whether it, you know, proves to be a terrible, devastating, you know, pandemic, it's obviously way too early to say. That's in the cards. But I had an opportunity to visit with someone here in the United States who is directly involved in trying to manage what one might call the exfiltration of Americans in China as we speak. And there was no question in my conversation with this individual that he was very concerned about what's involved. For example, you know, just the logistics of having 200 people confined in an airplane for 16, 17 hours, whatever it is, mm-hmm. to get them back from China. If there's even a single person on that plane who has been exposed to this and begun to incubate in themselves the coronavirus, even though they don't exhibit any symptoms, because apparently it is contagious, perhaps a couple of weeks before you begin to have symptoms.
Wow.
The likelihood that that person will infect everybody else on the plane, I think, is very high.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates a question about, so how do you quarantine those people and you know, for how long and so on. So, I mean, this is a public health challenge, it seems to me, at a minimum of the first order. Whether it turns out to be much worse than that remains to be seen.
Okay. And then another thing you had on your website, the Center for Security Policy, I think that's right, isn't that? What is that actual website address?
The easier one to remember is what we do, securefreedom.org.
Okay, securefreedom.org. And that is that communist China is indeed a threat. And as we had highlighted this this piece here from the Wall Street Journal on this Harvard chemistry chairman of the chemistry department was charged, arrested on charges of lying regarding what he was doing exactly. And you said, you know, he's probably looking at this as, you know, one big world and we can exchange ideas and all. But the veil has really been off, Frank Gaffney, on what China really is, as you've seen how they have dealt with the protesters in Hong Kong. Communist China, they're not freedom people. And they actually can be somewhat ruthless. And so your comment that we have to be concerned about communist China, I think, is very, very apt. And I think people need to see what they're really doing. So what's your comment on that, Frank?
Well, I am the vice chairman of a group we call the Committee on the Present Danger China. And I'd commend to your listeners another website, if I may, that the committee has had up since its launch in March of last year, at presentdangerchina.org.
Okay.
They'll find there scores now of short videos which have some of the best people in the country explaining the various challenges that the Chinese Communist Party, most especially, represents to us. And when I say challenges, that runs the gamut from actual violent threats to what the Chinese have called unrestricted warfare, and most of it in a sort of asymmetric, non-violent, but very, very dangerous form. The problem is most of us are oblivious to the fact that we're facing any threat from the Chinese Communist Party at the moment, let alone in these myriad ways. So what we've done, including just Monday of this week, is we've tried to take what we call threat briefings on the road. We went to Iowa in the interest of trying to ensure that presidential candidates who are spending a fair amount of time there, as you may have noticed at the moment, and those who are considering which one to vote for in the upcoming caucus on Monday of next week, are actually challenged to address this issue of what is China up to and what do you propose to do about it? Because let's face it, whoever the next commander-in-chief of the United States is going to be is going to have this as job one of their national security portfolio, at least. And we need to know now, you know, do they get it? We've had the spectacle, I have to say, of Joe Biden flipping on whether China is even a problem. And that's just one example. I think most of the other candidates haven't really addressed this very forthrightly at all, let alone explain what they would try to do to contain, or better yet, as I see it, roll back these Chinese threats. But that's what we're trying to do with the Committee on the Present Danger of China. And I will also mention one other thing, if I may, Ken, that's vitally important that people in this country appreciate. And one of the other things we did in Iowa is we went to the state legislature to talk to them about this. And that is, if you look at all of these threats, whether, as I say, it's the buildup, immensely impressive buildup of military power by the Chinese, both here on planet Earth and in space. If you look at the Belt and Road Initiative that they are now launching worldwide, that essentially is a colonial hegemonistic enterprise to take over much of the world's choke points and resources, whether you're looking at the horrific things they do to their own people, from organ harvesting of religious minorities to incarcerating millions of them to putting them all Chinese under this incredible surveillance state apparatus they call this social credit system, whereby they monitor everybody all the time and punish them if they deviate from, you know, the government's preferred practices. These are the sorts of things that are all being underwritten and enabled by us, by our capital markets, which by some estimates have transferred $3 trillion from public pension funds and other institutional investors and private investors in this country to China in the form of investments in companies that are doing these kinds of malevolent things for the Chinese Communist Party. And we said to the people who are, you know, representing the folks in Iowa in their state legislature on Monday, you have a fiduciary duty to oversee what's being done with your public pension funds, which are doing some of this kind of investing. And we think at a minimum, we need to have transparency about what these companies are doing, who they are, and the material risks associated with them. That's not happening. Not happening on Wall Street in general. That's not happening in the Iowa state pension funds or, for those that matter, those of others. And the American people, again, need to be awakened to this. And I hope to begin investing their money in patriotic causes that will protect our country against the Chinese threat rather than enhancing it in China.
Okay, and Frank, just a quick comment. We're going to go to break, and we want to talk about Iran. But out here in Colorado, we have a state legislature, and the last governor and this governor, and the last governor is now running for a Senate out here. And that is this move to, I think, really kill the internal combustion engine and move people into mass transit and into electric cars. And I had a friend that just recently returned back from Africa, and she said the Chinese own Africa. They are so involved in Africa. And it's important to understand that these electric car batteries, and of course the batteries in your iPhone, all of those have rare earth minerals in them. And most of those are coming from Africa, like cobalt and I think manganese and those different things. And so what we have out here in Colorado is they're trying to close down our fossil fuel industry, push people to electrified vehicles, and yet then China will be in charge of that particular resource, because there's no way at this particular point in time that wind and solar, you know, can wind and solar would charge those batteries, but they would have the ingredients in there are coming from a place that China controls. Now, am I too far out there, Frank Gaffney?
Well, I don't know if you want to talk about it now or after the break, but no, you're not too far out there at all. You're raising appropriate warnings and concerns about several different pieces of what I am calling the Chinese Communist Party threat.
Okay.
It's this build-out of a world-dominating capacity, including in critical resources, and as you say, it is likely to be exacerbated by some of the policies that American politicians are recommending here.
Okay. On that note, let's do go to break, because I also want to talk with you about Iran, because there's a kind of interesting stuff happening there. So this is Kim Munson. It's the Kim Munson Show. I'm talking with Frank Gaffney. He is the executive chairman of the Center for Security Policy. And those two websites right now is securefreedom.org. That's easy to remember. Securefreedom.org. And then this other one, presentdangerchina.org. Presentdangerchina.org. And Frank Gaffney, if we have our head in the sand, it doesn't mean that the threat's not there, right?
Correct.
Okay, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am thrilled to be talking with Frank Gaffney. He is the executive chairman of the Center for Security Policy. He is really watching what's going on throughout the world and looking at these threats. But Iran, there's so much going on, Frank Gaffney, in Iran. And can you give us an update on the U.S. and Iran tensions?
Sure. The Iranian Islamic Republic, as it's known, has been at war with the United States for over 40 years, since the Ayatollah Khomeini came to power with the active assistance, I'm sorry to say, of then-President Jimmy Carter. We have had endless recitations in the streets of Tehran, from government offices, and more to the point, in practice, of death to America. What has happened of late, of course, is that President Trump promised as a candidate and then acted as a president to withdraw our government from an agreement that Barack Obama had recklessly entered into that not only enriched the government of Iran enormously to the tune of something on the order of $150 billion, but also, I believe, really cleared the way for their further progress towards realizing the regime's long-time ambitions to have nuclear weapons, not impeded those ambitions. And the president set in train with the sanctions, the maximum pressure campaign that he imposed after withdrawing from that agreement, a series of events that have resulted in an immense degree of difficulty for the government of Iran. It is essentially, I think, corkscrewing into the ground in terms of its economy. Its people are increasingly and very courageously expressing their opposition to the government and their desire to have it end, really. And the government in Tehran is lashing out. It's lashing out in a variety of places, notably in Iraq and against the Saudis. And it has begun increasingly, I think, to threaten us, our people on the ground in the region, our vital interests as well as our allies, notably with an attack on our embassy and some of our personnel that, again, President Trump responded to, I think, in the case most especially of the embassy attack, very decisively and very importantly by eliminating the man who is, I believe, or was the principal architect of Iran's threat to the United States, Qasem Soleimani, a major general in the Quds Force of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. His elimination has, I think, further intensified the pressure on this regime, and I think you're likely to see them continue to try to lash out at us in various ways, quite possibly at some point here at home. So it's a dynamic situation, Kim. It's one that is fraught because they are continuing to pursue their nuclear weapons programs. I think unless and until there is an end to this regime in Tehran at the hands of the Iranian people, but I would hope with our strong support, I think we are going to continue to face a very serious threat from that quarter.
Well, but something interesting seems to be happening there, Frank Gaffney. I saw a YouTube video where there had been a U.S. flag laid out as well as an Israeli flag laid out. And so the government of Iran was encouraging people to walk across those flags. And they weren't. Finally, a couple of guys walked across them. But it wasn't like, you know, stomping on and saying death to America, which I thought that was really interesting. And then a week or so ago, I woke up and was checking my phone, and there was a tweet from Donald Trump. You know, and everybody seems to have an opinion about his tweets. But I'm looking at it, and I'm like, it's in Farsi. And then I saw that, you know, he was actually tweeting to the Iranian people and saying, you know, be courageous and having an appreciation for the Iranian people and understanding that the regime is you know, I'm going to say evil. And then I saw that there was a response from somebody, Khomeini, and then I'm like, wait a minute. Donald Trump is tweeting in Farsi to the Iranian people, and that Khomeini is responding to him. That was kind of amazing to me, Frank Gaffney.
Well, it's long overdue, honestly. It's the kind of thing that we should be and should have been doing for decades now. I mean, again, this has been a state of war, to be sure, an undeclared war, but it has been a state of war that has existed between this government in Iran and the United States. We've ignored it. We've, in some cases, actually enabled it, as I said. But it's nonetheless the case that this is a threatening regime that has been working through various means, terrorism, attacks on friendly nations, or in some cases preparing an attack in Washington, D.C., for that matter, that should have prompted us long ago to be really going over their heads and doing everything we can to empower the people of Iran to know the facts, and know that we don't hate them. We're not trying to hurt them. We have a shared interest in ending this regime, actually. They're bearing the brunt of how horrible it is, of course, but we both should want its removal. And there are things that we could do. I think this is an incredibly important symbolic step, Kim, but there are things that we could be doing to facilitate communications among the Iranian people, to get them information from outside, to enable them to, to plot, efforts to bring down the regime. There have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them out in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Demonstrating against this regime in recent months, cities all across the country. Those are people who are putting it all on the line because the regime does not treat them kindly, needless to say. So anything we can do to, let them know that we are on their side, we are supporting them, we want them to succeed, we're willing to help them, short of, I think it's understandable, short of putting our own personnel on the ground to try to accomplish that.
Okay. Well, Frank Gaffney, we are out of time. This is fascinating. And I think that we can stand and help the Iranian people. Go to securefreedom.org and presentdangerchina.org. Frank Gaffney, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Kim. Thank you.
Okay. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.